When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So
this is a shambles.
No. Wait, stop. Yeah. You've got to have the
beginning. This is a shambles.
What are you doing? What are you doing? We've got to have a whole the build up gag. The bit when they
this
sing
is a shambles.
Fuck off.
Didn't agree on that.
Oh my god.
Pod shambles.
Nice.
Well, shut the fuck up, right? We're not messing around. We're Paddy and Laurie. This is Pod Shambles, a podcast. We've got some things to say. We're going to say them quick. I am sick of you fucking around with your songs and your stories and your whimsy.
Yep.
Pack it in.
Podshambles@gmail.com.
No, not yet. That's in the end.
I had so many fun things. I had a song lined up.
Right.
I had a Once Upon a Time lined up.
Yeah.
I had reference to a good sitcom.
We do that every single show.
Yeah.
It's time to change things.
We've
got assessment objectives to hit now. Right, number one.
Yeah.
Right, agenda. Let's go. What have we got?
Look
at the agenda. I wrote one. I typed one out for you.
Okay. Agenda number one. Spectre.
Oh, James Bond.
Oh, we're going straight into it.
Yeah,
look at this. This is
what
like,
do you want to do? Do you want to like pad for 5 minutes?
No, I like this. This is...
Because it is in your name. Paddying for time.
Paddying for time. No, this is great. This is streamlining. We're like moving into the next generation of
really doesn't feel like it.
Of media technology.
How?
With a new wave of podcast.
Would you mean what?
Podwave.
What's a podwave? No, I'm getting caught up. Done it. You hooked me. Hook, line, and sinker.
I hooked you. Hook, line, and sinker. Right. No. Let's do it your way because we've tried my way and we've learned that it gets.
Don't
an average
do it begrudgingly.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm really pleased. You're the business mind. You're better at that. And
I once make £8 million only selling hair.
Yeah. Exactly. Through Google as a housewife on her own.
Yeah.
Like there's
and
a
then, oh, this housewife made £6 million.
How
selling
does she get her teeth so white?
Selling hair.
Exactly.
Can you want a slice of that hair pie?
There's a picture
pie?
Of her with the baby, and
of
it's
hair.
Sort of with
it's made of hair.
Hair baby, like a
speaking
ooh,
of
what
speaking
were they
of
called?
Hair.
Oh, okay,
we
sorry.
Went to see James Bond, and he doesn't. Have
he's got hair.
Many hairs.
Yeah, no, he's got very short hair.
We went to see it at the cinema because there's a whole lot of hullabaloo.
Yeah,
and we were quite hullabaloo.
Now, I don't know how to approach this first, because I get the feeling both of us want to dive in, and I think we're going to say the same
thing. Okay, knocks out of 9 after 3. 3, 2, 1.
3.
Ooh.
3?
No, I was being...
Oh, you were being... You were, what was it?
It wasn't... No, it wasn't brilliant, was it, man?
I thought it was... I'm not a great person to talk to about films, because generally, I either like everything...
Well, as you know, if you need any kind of opinion on film, you have to have at least a level 6 film clearance badge.
Yeah, exactly. And you're the guy who hands them out. No, like, with James Bond as well, because I'm not a Bond nut. I don't know everything about Bond, which a lot of my friends, like James especially, knows fucking everything. So
what do you
I've
mean
always...
you don't know much about
well,
James
no,
Bond?
I've
like, it's a pretty easy set of cliches.
I know, absolutely, but I've always felt like my opinion on James Bond isn't worth that much, because
no.
a lot of people come from it from a like, well, like when it was Roger Moore and he was in this, and when Live and Let Die happened, and when da-da-da, and they can be like, they can talk about plot lines and where there are holes and whether it's canon.
Right, but
I can't do that.
No, sure, but
the
whole...
I know the songs.
The whole point of James James Bond, though, is that it's stupid, right? That's the whole point of the old films, is they're really silly and fun.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of them, but
they're like, very British.
Well, if you start like criticizing them, be like, well, I'll tell you what, James Bond would have never done that sleep on.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're in fucking murky water because he's a ridiculous fictional character.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and they I don't know, they've reinvented him before when they made him a hard nut, like Timothy Dalton was a bit of a hard nut Bond, and then they went back to silly again.
It's a hard nut Bond for us.
It was but new one, like, it's still humorous, it's still, you know, like all those same criticisms. I'm not fucking Mark Kermode, right?
Well,
guys?
No,
and you are not the other one, Simon Mayo.
I mean, it's one of those films that is like, it's one of those series or whatever you want to call it, that is
franchises
that's the word I'm looking for,
that is
in its very nature a parody of itself.
Well, should be,
should be, at least. Yeah, absolutely.
And
right.
So you have a
woman, and you have the looking at the camera, like, once or twice, and you have the slightly laboured pun.
Oh, the really excellent pun. We looked like, with the best ones at the end of, no, the end of the world is not enough, right?
Right.
And the lady doctor scientist in the, like, nuclear scientist is called Dr. Christmas Jones. And Pierce, Bronholm at the end says, like, in the air balloon or whatever happens. You know, it's
of course it's an air balloon. Yeah,
or, like, you know, on
Ski dog.
Yeah, exactly. Some ridiculous thing, but in an obtusely incredible setting.
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes, Christmas Jones, right? He just goes, looks like Christmas came early.
Da, da, like, I guess you could say the world was not enough.
No, that is definitely.
Na.
I tell you what, Paz, your puns are subpar even by Bond standards.
Well, not anymore is my point.
No, but
the classic Bond lines in this one were very much, they were sort of like, this is what James Bond would say.
There was like, one quite good bit, and it's, you know, about Blofeld, right? Who's a very old baddie from the old films, inspectors of organisations.
Absolutely.
From the old films. And he says, Blofeld says, oh, you know, I came here, you came here for what, Mr. Bond? He goes, well, I came here expecting to speak. And he said, no, I expect you to die or something, you know, one of the old,
I came here to kill you. Oh, that's strange.
That really lost a lot of pace.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, good.
Well,
and he made some comment that was like, where the girl, you know, the Bond girl, who's,
Leah Seydoux.
Gormless Jen, or
that's
whatever
Leah Seydoux, mate. She's lovely.
But she's like, oh, do you like being a spy? And he's like, well, it was this or the clergy.
Wink.
Wink.
Yeah, it's just like,
because he's,
we're still trying to be silly, but it's still in the kind of incredibly serious Daniel Craig, nothing's a joke, I'm all muscle, I'm going to kill everyone. Like, not like, kill nicely, kill by beating their face in.
Now, the good thing that we've done here, and this is a good time to do it, is actually, we haven't done any spoilers yet.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take this opportunity. Like, we're probably not going to give any spoilers.
No, to be honest,
I don't really remember what happened.
I thought you were going to say, let's do all the spoilers.
Let's do all the spoilers.
Right,
what? No, exactly. Like, from here on out, maybe if you want to know nothing about Spectre.
It's kind of, the film is hard to spoil, because, like, we're not going to talk about the.
Yeah, you know what the fuck's going to happen. No. It's going to be, got a gun.
No, maybe they don't.
He's got, you know, a nuclear sub or whatever it is.
Okay, you definitely didn't watch the same film I did.
I wasn't paying that much attention. I had
exactly like all the new Bond films. It's like another one about his backstory, and that is the least interesting part of James Bond. The most interesting,
but it could be really interesting.
No, listen. You saw Skyfall, right? That was Bond's backstory, and then they've gone, oh, but there's a bit more we haven't told you.
Okay.
And then by the end of the film, they've not told you anything anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, it was bollocks. I much prefer, let's get Roger Moore back, three nipples, golden gun, man with metal face, jumping. No, not a Tyrannosaurus Rex. No,
oh, right,
not.
Okay.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
But, nice ladies. There's one called Melinda Havelock in one episode. Get her back!
Like Laurie.
Yeah. What, so you haven't seen many. What are your presiding memories of old
films? I was really excited about it because, not in a, like, touching way, but I really like...
In a boner way.
Like, no, like going to the cinema...
Really excited about this film!
...is something that I've only really started to do since living in this flat. It's only where the three of you have gone, hey, why don't we see that movie? And then everyone looks at their diaries and goes, yeah, let's go to that movie. And then we go.
That's how it usually works, mate.
Well, yeah, I've never done that before. Normally,
why?
It's like, I never used to go to the cinema. Like, never. And if it was because we walked past the cinema and went, huh, you know what would be funny? If we went into the cinema, and then we did.
It's so ridiculous. Is that how you end up seeing, like, Runaway Home 3 or whatever?
Yeah, it's Fly Away Home.
Like, this time, the geese are flying
them. Yeah, but, like, I never really go to set, and I really enjoyed the actual let's make a night of it. Like, go for a beer,
It's a lot more convenient when the best cinema in the world is around the corner. Genesis down in 1 Mile End, guys. Just go and patronise them.
Pretty cool.
It's also £4 on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
Yes.
Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. So I was really excited about it. I was like, oh, we're going to have a really nice night. And I did. I had a fucking lovely night. But I just felt it was a bit... Like, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't really explained, and if it was, it was quite cack-handedly breezed over.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, they went looking for another backstory when there isn't. All right, what I was trying to ask Paddy, though, is what do you miss about the old ones? What are the things you remember fondly, even in the few you've seen?
I don't know, this is so hard to say because it sounds so meta and twisted with the way I put it because I have to explain things in an overcomplicated way.
Can you just put it simply?
This one...
No, couldn't, just, no, like three words.
Unsure of itself.
Ooh, there you see, you could do it.
Yeah. It couldn't work out if it was trying to be funny, if it was trying to be serious, if it was trying to be like parody Bond, or if it was trying to be like gritty dark Bond.
I know, I think it was trying to be gritty dark Bond, but went like, oh, let's pop a joke in. Anyway, we're getting way too serious about this, man. People,
I know.
I don't want to listen to our
absolutely
film podcast. Like, what I'm trying to ask you is what you want from the old Bond.
Oh, well, the old Bond.
Because that's on the agenda.
Oh, okay, well, what I want from the old Bond is, well, my favourite Bond film, as you know, is James Bond.
The Life Aquatic.
A finger of fudge.
A finger of fudge.
Yeah, exactly.
Finger of fudge.
Sexy title.
It's the man with the fudge finger.
Colin Fudge. Okay.
Colin Fudge.
Who is an oil gambler.
How is he an oil gambler?
He bets at casinos in oil. And his signature is like barrels of oil, like, instead of chips. Yeah. Yeah. And he throws down like...
Woohoo! Is he Texan? I'm going to put it all on green!
He's Texan, but it turns out he's Russian, because everyone evil is Russian.
He's got
Russian or occasionally
lines.
French. Yeah, exactly. So Colin Fudge, right, he loses a finger, right?
It's a very American/Russian name. That,
yeah, killing a hostage.
Fudge. Right.
Bond, no, M, finds the finger, gives it to Bond.
Why has he got hostages?
Because he's Fudge. Because of oil. Yeah?
No.
No, big oil company.
So you're
called Fudge Co.
Fudge Co.
Yeah,
good.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's got all the hostages, of course, that are probably sexy ladies. Let's be honest. You know, Bond wants all the sexy ladies. Bond, famously played by...
I can't help but feel you've made this up.
Martin Clunes.
Was it really Martin Clunes?
Yes, you know, Churchill and all that.
Churchill.
Yeah.
Post Men Behaving Badly or pre?
Absolutely.
Both. Oh, well, he's there, of course, with his can of lager.
Yeah, exactly.
He's saying, you just shut up, all right?
Yeah, he decides to go after the oil baron.
Yeah, look at you, you're slicked hair and you're fucking... Where's the telly gun?
Then he says something, like, fun.
Yeah,
you know, Bondy.
Like...
Dun-dun!
He's in the whole.
It's James Bond.
A couple of nipples just swirling around the screen.
Will he shoot you with his nips?
And then he just squirts oil from each nipple in a beautiful plume.
In tentacles.
And the tentacles slowly fade, and then there's two more fire. Sexy ladies. Except they're not ladies, they're men with babies. Bond with babies attached to his chest.
Yeah, Bond's
so
dad.
Look like tits from the side, and he comes around and it's just babies.
My baby.
It doesn't do that in a music. You know, it doesn't just sing what's on screen.
Yeah, it was famously sung by Sam Smith.
Sam Smith. Oh, this has gone so horribly wrong. And then what happened
after that? What I miss about... Well, he goes after Colin Fudge.
Yeah.
Right, and of course, he encounters Colin Fudge's
wife. Very complicated plot.
Minelda Fudge.
Right, what does Minelda Fudge do?
Minelda Fudge, it's...
Oh, Mr. Bond.
Yes.
Funny that you can make it in time.
Welcome
I was
to
just having
my
afternoon fudge finger.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's back to camera.
Yeah.
And she's, like, moving her hands quite a lot in what seems to be her midriff.
Exactly.
And Bond's like, save a slice for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And it turns
around... If there's one thing our Scottish love, it's fudge.
Why is Martin Clunes Scottish?
Oh, but because Bond's Scottish.
Oh, well, yeah, they don't do that much anymore.
Well, yeah, I know, but they still would hold it.
Anyway, she turns around and she just has a cat and she's feeding it bits of fudge and goes,
yeah,
it's his finger. I'm fudging him.
Yeah, exactly. The cat is called Finger.
And, yeah.
Everything is fingering and fudge.
No!
Right.
No, that's so bad.
And,
Mr. Bond, I didn't expect you to finger my fudge.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be the
only
guy.
Well, it looks like you've really fudged this one up,
looks
fudge.
Looks like that's a finger of five. Oh, fudge.
Yeah. You could say it's just enough.
Looks like I've fudged.
Finger of fudge.
No, it doesn't do.
The theme tune is like all the way through it as well.
Oh man, this is atrocious.
But it takes him around the world. There's a helicopter chase. There's probably a parkour bit. There's a bit in a jungle with a voodoo guy. You know,
there's a bit in the jungle where he gets put in like a pot and cooked, and he goes, looks like I've fudged this one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he goes, Mr. Bond, and he gets captured, and then Mr. Fudge, what's his name again?
Colin Fudge.
Colin Fudge. He just he has Mr. Bond captured, goes, Mr. Bond, looks like I've fingered you.
Exactly.
Wow, Bond, this is a rich
Bond
vein.
Steals Fudge's, like, ring that right, is, like, the right. entrance to
oh,
the fudge
Oh, no, my
house.
Fudge ring.
It looks like I've been fingered, like, oh, like he's been
okay,
stolen.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
exactly.
And then what happens? I know what the last line
you know
is, but
exactly
you go,
what the last
you,
line
you,
is.
You finish up.
So it goes all the way around the world. Yeah. I was saying he's cooked in a pot by cannibals or whatever like that. Yeah. Baron Samedi shows up again, bit with Jaws. George Jaws, whose mouth is now stuck together.
Because of Toffee.
Because of Toffee,
Toffee.
Fudge.
No, Toffee.
Toffee Fudge.
No, yeah. That's the red herring. That's the red herring.
That's the red herring. And Bond tries to make a fudge joke, and yeah. then Jaws is like,
Toffee.
Finger of Fudge comes back in.
Right.
He chases Fudge all the way around the world. He has sex with Fudge's wife because it turns out she is a double agent.
Looks like I've been covered
She's
in Fudge.
She's 00 Fudge.
No, fuck off, 00 Fudge.
00 Fudge.
No, it's the one thing about the 00s is they have a number, not a fucking confectionery item.
But
it.
She's 005. Yeah, okay. okay. Yeah, okay. Why not? And like, she knew Alec Trevelyan
for
or
England
something
James,
like that.
Yada yada. And dead, know, and you covered know, in Fudge.
Covered in Fudge. Dead. You know what the last line is going to be. He's there. Yeah. Fudge is on the floor.
Yeah.
He's missing more fingers now.
Oh, no, this is not what I was thinking.
Oh, I mean, he's not missing more fingers,
so my,
of course.
My vision for the end right yeah, now is that they're fighting in the fudge factory.
Yeah.
Looks like a sticky situation. Etc. Right.
Yes.
Eventually, they meet on the massive, like, conveyor belt above the massive, the big shipping container full of boxes of fudge.
Yeah.
And Bond, and he goes, Mr. Bond, looks like you've met your sticky end. And Bond goes, no, I think I'll be packing fudge tonight. And he pushes him into the big box, and he gets squashed into a box of fudge and dies.
Oh my god.
Looks like, and then he just to ram it home again, he just says, looks like I packed your fudge.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, so good.
And then
and then in the credits,
we
like,
all went home and had lemonade.
Lemonade. And,
the end.
And like, the, and it's the first, and it was of course the first Bond film where in the credits they had that like 70s thing where they sort of have outtakes of each of the characters. Ba-da. Like, yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, okay. So ba-da.
Well, I guess it looks like you've been funged.
Terry shot himself, everyone.
Oh,
he shot himself.
Sorry, I meant fudge, and then I pooed.
Ba-da. Take three.
Oh, Mr. Bond.
Fudge ho! Who brought the pirates into?
Yeah,
he's
like, oh god, no, roll again. Hello, my name is Jeremy. Colin Fudge.
Oh,
Colin Fudge.
Seriously, to cut back on the cocaine, Colin. Okay, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You get the idea. That's what I miss about Bond.
£17 million in the box office. Job done.
Yeah.
See you later,
Martin Clunes.
Thanks, Broccoli and Broccoli.
You can reach us on at Podshambles.
Well, look, we've got one item off the agenda. That is a tick for us.
Tick.
Ching.
And I think we've deserved a little. Finger
of Toffee.
Fudge. No.
Oh, shit! Sunday, Monday, happy days!
Tuesday.
Ha, yeah. Thursday, Friday, happy days!
Saturday is another day, and we're cruising around the week with Bob!
Yeah! These days are happy, lovely. Hashtag 100 happy days.
100 happy days.
These days are ours to spend as you will.
Same.
Do as you will and be happy, for goodness sake. Have
100
lovely
happy days with Bob Cake
and James in Parlour One. Day 11. London, I'm inside you. Hashtag penetration, lols. Hashtag only a bit of cock fun.
Day 11. Bought a fab lolly, but dropped it. Hashtag ups and downs. Hashtag swings and roundabobs.
Day 12. Whoever let all the homeless sit by Trafalgar Square needs their head examined. Looking at you, at the Queen.
Day 12. Didn't drown. Hashtag Bob floats. Hashtag which is Bob.
Day 13. Sigh. Sometimes purple can really betray you, even though you were soulmates. Whatever.
Day 13. Found me favourite rope. Well chuffed, but to be honest, Bob's best wrangling days are behind him.
Day 14. After 30 replies. Sorry, tweeps. Don't want to talk about it. Let's just say I know who my friends are. Hashtag fuck Odeons.
Day 14. Watch out, world. Bob's got bees and a sticky dream. Watch this space.
Day 15. No bastard avocados in this week's Ocado delivery service. They run by Polish people. Fucking ridiculous.
Day 15. Finally got round to digging up the whole garden center.
Day 16. Just to clear it up, nothing against Polish purple, but they really wouldn't know an avocado if it invaded their country, lol.
Day 16. A stitch in 9 saves time. And 9 stitches in Bob saves Bob, hopefully. Hashtag A&D.
Day 17. OMG. Just seen the fittest little skirt down at walkabout. Got the eyes of a wasp and the legs of an ostrich. Hashtag James is available.
Day 17. I think I can say that old Bob is now a believer in true love at first sight. Saw at Annika Rice at the hashtag Reading Steam Fair.
Day 18. Shit. I think she might be the one. She smells like Lynx Africa and laughs when I say shimples. Hashtag club romance.
Day 18. Hey, Annika Rice from telly, what is your favourite place to bathe? / what is your house? Hashtag railway romance.
Day 19. Fuck you, ostrich legs. You could have been Mrs. Impala 1. Hashtag cold Harridan. Hashtag Baron Harpy. Hashtag crap tits anyway.
Day 19. Turns out at Annika Rice doesn't like Rothmans. So that is definitely not a goer. Bob's got needs, after all.
Day 20. Maybe you're going to be the one that saves me, but after all, you're a wonderful wall. Hashtag blur.
Day 20. It's okay. No matter what happens to Bob, he's still got his bees. Hashtag true friends. Hashtag Bob's honey blobs.
I can't wait to see what makes tomorrow another happy day. Hashtag 100 happy days.
Shite. I know you've been on the edge of your seat.
Oh, I've been really sat back and enjoying it, actually, mate. Do you want to just take the rudder for the next kind of half hour?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cool, I'm just going
to... Because we're about to hit the adventure.
That's great, mate. Carry on. I'll be back here.
You look so excited.
Do you want anything?
You look so excited.
Oh, what? You've got your adventure book now.
We're going back to it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's got a theme tune, mate. You don't need to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
You remember we wrote that? It was a smash.
Play the theme tune.
It won the Emmy.
All right, let's do it.
It's time for some sort of adventure. Pod Shambles Adventure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Adventure time faces the Shamblers. Where will we be this week? It could be a cave, or a hole, or a lake, or a mountain, or a feast, or a pie, or a back alley of a Nando's. Where, oh, where could we be? It's an adventure time for you and me. Let us cross hill and dale, through the forest and the vale. We're flagging the Dorban Barbasa. Let's sail on the magic train, adventure train, the magic train. Where will it go? Who even knows? It's adventure time,
adventure time,
adventure time on the porch.
That was lovely.
And we can see why it won so many
Oscars,
People's
Emmys,
Choice Awards.
People's Choice, VMAs. And VMAs. Of course, who did get the MTV Movie Awards?
And the Grammys.
Paddy, we're facing a giant duck monster.
Yes.
And someone's died and Barbosa's got a man on his shoulders.
Very, very quick recap. So remember, you were in the Orville Memorial Duck Sanctuary.
Fucking yes.
Keith,
of course I remember.
Like, you went into the Live Like a Duck
Hell
thing.
Hell on earth.
You found Dr. Y Wang, or Dr. Kvank for short.
Yeah.
And
we all
you
remember
then,
that joke.
You then managed to find the cage of ducks in which was contained Magical Monty, who's been held prisoner
yes.
by Keith
yes.
for thousands of years.
Yes.
Right. But the last thing that happened was Dr. Kvank got his head blown off by a duck gun.
Yes.
And then the duck like absorbed it, like Kvank turned into another duck robot.
Akira-esque, like.
So basically, what you're facing is a giant duck robot.
Sweet.
And so I would like you to take your dice.
My specialist enemy type.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems
it's a common enemy in this world, isn't it?
Duck humanoids.
Duck monster. Yeah. All so right. Get your combat dice ready, and you are now in combat. Well, at the moment, just
well,
to
what I'm not
set
gonna
the
do,
scene.
I'm not going to cast the water spell because it'll just ping off like jam off a duck's beak or whatever it is.
Like water off a duck's back.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. Oh, you're so on it.
I'm on it.
You're so on it. Okay, just to set the scene. So this is the field of play, right. As you can see here. Here is giant robo duck.
Right.
Okay. Here is you.
What's with the tiny dick there, mate? What's that about?
That was just keeping myself entertained. Okay. That was just good fun for all the family. Right. No, the tiny dick represents Barbosa.
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, and remember, he has attached to him via a rigging system.
Mr. Monty.
Magical Monty. Yeah, exactly. Who is still naked, well endowed, all those things.
As you remember.
And you are now in combat. Now, you've just seen Kvank die.
Right.
You have actually, can you roll for initiative? Can you just roll one dice? Great. Okay, I'm gonna roll mine. Right, you jump into action.
Oh, of course.
Somehow,
I do. Action
you knew that a duck would attack.
I'm always ready for that situation.
It was almost as if you perceived it, shall we say. Right, so what do you want to do? You've got a big fucking robot duck built out of lots of other ducks, and it is your turn to attack.
Mate, I don't know. What? How do you even begin to have I got any breadcrumbs?
in your little bag of tricks. Just for reference, by the way, Barbosa, who has stood here, as you know, is just going...
Doesn't like it.
He's like you know that scream that children do where it gets
when they're not really crying. They just want to make a noise.
Exactly. He's doing that, and Monty's bottom
is by
his chin. Like like wiggling up and down.
I'm gonna just try and cast some kind of magic spell on this and just see what happens.
Okay, cool.
Go for some kind of we've done fire. A bit of ice. Just try and freeze him up.
Oh, okay,
and aim
cool.
Right for the nips.
Yeah, exactly. Just well, remember, the ice really backfired chilly. On the penguin, do you remember?
I know, but this is no penguin.
This is no penguin.
Ducks ain't no... Okay,
this
so
is a duck.
I'm gonna rolling to hit
first. Rolling three dice, yeah. Brilliant. Okay, right, so you hold out your hands, and like it's like you were born to do this.
Yeah.
Right, and these,
born
and
to
these
freeze.
Enormous crystal, kind of like Edward Scissorhands style-y,
yeah.
These things like come out of your fingers and break off, but they're still hung, like suspended in midair.
Yeah.
And then, do you remember when, in Final Fantasy VIII, when a deer dies?
No.
When a deer kills Squall.
Yes.
Yes, sorry. And she fires that, it's exactly like that. All these, like, ice lances.
That's a nice and seamless reference.
Yeah, exactly. A really good reference.
Everyone under the age of 18 there.
Yeah, exactly. I reckon 30% of our audience will have got that, and I am pleased with that hit rate for our jokes. Anyway, so these things just fire at it, and two of the, like, there are three main ones, lots of, like, icicles around it. Two of the main ones just literally bounce off the armour, okay?
Right.
And one of them wedges like not where the heart would be were it not like a thousand
Amazing,
ducks.
Huge duck.
It's a really good thing, and he goes like that, and it shears through and out of his back. It was like if they did like a freeze frame instead of blood, all these feathers fly out of the back, like when you shoot a gun through a pillow, right?
Which we've all done a million times.
Yeah, exactly. When you're trying to kill someone quietly.
No,
it's like a homemade silencer. That's a big movie trope, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
I don't
pillow,
think it really
like,
works.
Like, all that kind of thing.
And also, the feathers don't come out, mate.
Well, yeah.
Also, fundamentally, that analogy doesn't work.
Yeah, no. Well, but it's like that, right? All the feathers just fly out the back.
If that happened like you thought it would happen,
yeah, exactly.
It would be like that.
If I had my way, that's how silent gun things would go. Feathers fly out the back, and the ice thing is lodged in him, and it's like it's as if you've like. Cut a circuit or something like that, because you see his like he starts to twitch and his neck starts to go to the right. He's still very much lucid. He still seems to be entirely working, but your ice seems to like spread along that part of his body. Okay, and his neck is now having trouble moving, and he has lost a certain amount of HP that I'm not going to tell you. And
all you did there is pick up your pen and then go to draw a number, and you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So why pray did you draw anything?
Well, because this is a little signal that I like to call.
It looks like a zero.
Mexican
now.
Hat man.
No, stop it.
Okay, fine.
Stop it.
Okay,
don't
fine.
Need to know
all right.
Your name's
is that
drawing.
Better? Is that,
thanks.
Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know how many he has, but he's lost three.
He's lost three.
Three of
minus
something.
Three health. Okay, but he immediately counterattacks. He's already used his robogun, so that like it's like a charge move,
right?
Almost.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think Fagan would have noticed that.
Oh, no, he totally did. Okay, so basically what he does is he turns to you and he opens up his beak, okay,
which is like eight ducks,
eight ducks glued together, and like Alien, another duck comes
out.
A string of ducks goes like that, and they fire out like a chameleon's tongue,
yeah,
okay, and they go straight for Barbossa. Okay.
Fuck him.
Now
he's made his stance very
now,
clear.
Now what happens here is the tongue hits the rigging on Barbossa, where Barbossa is holding Monty. Okay.
Right.
It entangles itself in it and pulls, and Monty is launched into the duck. Okay. Into the duck's mouth.
I don't know this guy. I don't care.
Well, he owns Monty.
He owns the zoo. I don't like.
He's a great guy.
I'm sure he is, but at the moment, I don't give a shit.
Christ, he's now being chomped, and like these sort of like sharpened feather bits and stuff are now chomping him. Mm. Magical Monty is just, he's still got a gag in his mouth, and he's just sort of making, like, as if he's being tortured noises. He's there, but it does mean the duck is momentarily distracted.
Awesome.
So now Barbossa's...
Let's run! Is that run! 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 Run!
Just
run.
Start running. No.
I'm done with this.
Okay, Barbossa... unfortunately, is still you can run if you want, but Barbossa is attached to Monty, who is in the duck's mouth by rigging.
Right.
So basically, Barbossa is sort of flailing around.
Yeah.
And he swipes at it with his sword, but of course, because it's Barbossa, it does absolute jack shit.
Right.
Like he's not great.
All right. So hang on. Let me say, Barbossa's fucked up royally.
Yeah.
There's now a duck with the guy we're trying to save in his multiple duck mouth.
Yeah, Quank's
and there's
dead.
A massive lot of like rigging and sails and shit feathers in between him and Barbossa.
Yeah.
What's Barbossa? He's just standing there looking like a twat.
He's literally, if you can imagine, his arm has this sword.
And
he's going
so horrid. Like right, okay.
He just rolls badly.
You roll badly.
Yeah,
that's
for him.
Right, I'm going to, picking up these dice, I'm just going to fucking, I'm gonna do something mad. I'm going to tug that rigging. I'm going to try to pull that poor sod out. Okay.
Here we fucking go.
I'm going to put my stumpy dwarven legs in the ground, and I'm going to hoist up as if I'm tugging my mummy's hair tail.
Oh, you're
going
to really anchor
yourself. Cosmodan!
Oh, amazing. Okay, you yank on the rope, and it pulls the entire structure of ducks, just like, as if there was a pivot on his feet, just dunk, like that, and ducks, like, roll out of him, and he's got, like, a bit smaller.
Nice.
Like,
it's I've like, some ducks
yeah,
off.
It's like you've knocked part of his armour off, effectively, and he's on the floor, but, like, and that ice spear that you've gone through, like, hits the floor and pops out the other side of him with a flurry of feathers, because he's filled with
like
duck feathers. Absolutely. He's now on the floor. He... misses his turn. Barbossa is looking to you for instruction. He's just flailing. He's just having a flail.
So Barbossa, just get the rigging off you dumb bitch.
Okay,
you
all right.
Silly blonde.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Oh, okay, amazing. So Barbossa, he basically like you know escape artists in their straitjackets. He's like he lifts one leg over
escape
it.
Escape artists in their straitjackets.
Yeah.
Again, your touchstones, man. They're on point,
yeah, they're really on point. The prestige, whatever. Like he puts one leg over the rigging and one arm under it and stuff like that, and he finds himself tangled up for it. Like, tangled up in it completely.
Right.
And he's going, ah, da, da, da. But then he, like, with this unheard-of strength of Barbossa, he basically lurches forward and pulls, and he rips off, like, the top two-thirds of the duck, right, that are still attached to Monty.
Yes.
And he's now grabbing on Barbossa's foot, and now they're in this basically long chain.
The only question I have for him is why?
He's trying. He's trying to get away.
No. I know he's trying, but why, Barbossa? I'm asking him.
Well, he
panicked.
He panicked. Of course, he panicked.
Okay. Well, I don't really know what to do now because we're in a very indescendable. We have to like probably run or something while he's on the floor. Is that going to work?
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get Barbossa and run away.
This
I'm
is great. Kind of
tag him along. God, it's going to be awful.
Well, no, this is great because now imagine. Right.
Let's go. Fleet foot as well. Let's get it all going.
Oh, you're
going
to go for that?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you start paddling your little legs. Where do you grab him by?
Oh, I don't know. The trussocks.
The trussocks.
Like the nice fleshy bit of his butt.
The haunches.
The haunches.
You grab
again.
Him by the haunches and you start pulling. Could you roll? Could you just roll?
Roll a tug of war dice.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. You
tug, tug, tug of war.
This is a fantastic image. Like, it's the back of the duck, then a load of, like, duck entrails and smaller ducks.
But hang on, it's
then
a duck entrail.
Then the bigger
entrails.
Bit of
so
the duck.
So just ducks arranged in the shape of entrails.
Of entrails, yeah. And it's like he's being stretched.
I admire their attention to detail.
In the mouth of the duck is another string of ducks attached to Monty, which is attached to Barbossa, which is now attached to you.
Yes.
And you just start running.
Hightail
it. And, like, luckily, you have the strength of a dwarf, and you're just... you're pulling everyone
proportional
along.
Proportional strength
like,
of a
like
tiny
some
person.
Kind of carriage. And then you hear this ding like that, and it's as if all of the teeth in the mouth break, And hang suddenly...
on. Hang on.
Yeah. The teeth are ducks. Tiny ducks.
The ducks... Okay, so look, my point is, it's in the shape of a duck.
Yeah.
Ducks famously do not have teeth.
Yeah, but this is a robo-duck. He's got a gun for a hand that fires ducks.
Oh, so logically he has to have teeth.
Well, he can have teeth, logically. Oh. Yeah, so he's been biting down. Okay. You've ripped out all the teeth, which are like ducklings. Like really strong ducklings.
No, they're not.
You rip them all out, and you suddenly find yourself dragging the others up to your feet, and you're just going to leg it.
Yes.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
You start running down this bit of the zoo, right?
Right.
Which, as you can see, leads to this sort of T junction here.
Nice.
As you get towards it, you can hear the ducks sort of, it's like mechanisms, which are mainly like quacks and squeaks and buzzes and birds, are starting to like kick back in as it reassembles itself. But it's like a golem. It's kind of weird.
Right.
And you and Magical Monty and Barbossa see at the T junction, Keith steps out.
Uh-oh.
And Keith is holding two fucking big knives.
Oh god, the fucking big ducks.
Right, fucking big ducks, right? Okay. Magical Monty, still with gag in mouth, motions to you that you need to go left and lifts up his hand, right? You know he's in the duck's mouth. He's got one of the teeth and attached to it is like a long, like, mithril chain. With this, like, GoldenEye key on the end.
What the fuck is this thing? Oh, GoldenEye key.
Yeah, he's torn it.
There's a laser to launch.
He's torn it off of Crank, the robo-duck.
Right.
And then he lifts under his little ragged, like, he's naked, but he's got these little ragged bits on him, like, as if he used to have clothes.
Other than the clothes.
And he has another key.
Right.
And he's, like, chugging at you to go left. But
it's very good. It's very good that you managed to get them both out in such a pressurised situation.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's really lovely.
Well, let's probably go that way, then.
Well, you have to, but Keith is blocking your way. Literally stood there like a knife fighter holding, like a knife fighter.
Like a knife fighter
with
knives.
But you know the way those guys stand like that? Like
yeah. And he's like a poignard and a Dexter or whatever it is, and one's up his cloak and one's up his bum.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's
exactly
doing the little flamenco dance.
Right, you get to act for. He seems like he's just planted. You get to act right
oh,
now.
Oh shit! Okay.
You basically need
check
to get
this
him out of the way.
Check this out. Right, I'm going to vault his ass with. Like, have I got Barbossa or the rigging in hand? It's Barbossa, isn't it?
You've got Barbossa in hand, but he is attached by the rigging. He's now got control of Monty again, and Barbossa's holding him.
Okay, I'm going to take one bit of the rigging, tell Barbossa to hold the other end.
Right.
Get ready for this shit, right? Like a champion sheep herder.
Yeah.
Shepherd. I'm going to vault this guy.
You're going to vault.
I'm going to vault, and I'm going to try and wrap the rigging around him as I go.
Right.
And, like, lay it over him, and then tell Bobo, and, like, try and tie him up, basically, as I vault him.
Okay, sweet. Give me a roll.
Tie that son of a bitch up! Okay. Woohoo!
I'm just going to roll.
Let's rope that hog good and proper.
Oh, okay. All right.
Did I not rope him?
Here's what happens.
Oh, I didn't rope him.
You stretch out like a badminton net almost. Is that what you're sort of saying with the rigging? Like you're holding one end of it
like
each.
Like a badminton net.
You know how badminton nets, they're
long bits of fabric.
Yeah, and they get stretched and held down with those posts.
They get stretched, they get rolled out. It's not like elastic.
I thought badminton nets were elastic.
No, it's like ping, it doesn't like.
I thought they pinged. I thought they were. And you could like pull someone
it's
back
just
and
ripe,
launch
mate.
Them. Oh, right. Well, like a badminton net, you run at him, okay?
Right.
With Monty's kind of tangled up and then...
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's got the Barbossa end. He's fine.
And you get straight towards Keith, and just at the point where you would get him, Keith just shifts one foot, and he brings both knives
like
up.
Flutter
and,
steps like, to the
exact,
side. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly what I was going to use. He, like, flutter steps, and, like, these butterfly knives, like, come, and they just cut clean through the rigging. Also cutting Monty free.
Nice.
But you both tumble down onto the floor. Monty is panicking, and he starts running towards this point, which you might remember from your map, where there was a...
Oh, what, down here?
Yeah, he's
WD-40, no, BD.
He's running towards BD.
BD.
He starts running.
Big dinner.
And he's giving you that sign. It's not as if he's running away from you. He's doing that thing that's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have to run. And Keith...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Looms over you. Keith lifts up both knives,
yeah.
Okay, above both of your heads, and just at that point...
I'm coming, sir!
Right.
Oliver Fun, on a vulture...
I think I'd rather have died than have him
careers
that.
Into Keith. And it's like, you know when, in the Neverending Story,
yeah.
when the big dog dragon has that bad landing and he like goes, and he like grinds into the ground
yeah.
and all the dirt comes out. That's what happens to Keith. He gets hit clean in the stomach. Both knives fly out of his hands.
And he gets flies back into the ground.
Into the ground. And Oliver stands up and gives you a little salute and he's like, it was a magnificent journey, sir! And he starts trying to regale you.
Oliver, shut the fuck up! There's a... Get him! Get him!
Okay.
Piss in his eyes!
Are you going to keep following Magical Monty? Or
I think I'm going to grab Oliver by the scruff of his neck, I guess.
As you have to grab an orphan, the only place you can.
Grab him by the scruff of his neck, like a cat, like the fleshy bit
yeah,
of his
exactly.
neck.
Yeah, exactly. Orphans like that, and he's lifted.
And we'll go. And I say, there's no time to explain, Oliver! Let's go!
Okay, you start running after Magical Monty and towards this point in your map.
What's the duck doing
BD.
Right now?
Okay, the duck has been sort of reassembling behind you this okay. whole time, but you are now quite clearly ahead because of your daily, the fleet of
nice
foot.
Nice one.
So you're getting closer and closer to BD. And basically, you go through these big double doors,
mm-hmm.
and inside is this... It's like space architecture, but all as if, like, space was built by ducks. Like, so...
Hang on.
Yeah.
No. Space architecture is the stuff that's built in space.
Yeah.
So, if... That,
no, but, like, imagine there was, in the future, there was, a race of ducks.
That built a space station.
Exactly, the built space station. And so, you know, like, Geiger in the Alien movies, like, all of the artwork in Alien was reflective of the aliens themselves. It had all of that, like, mechanical spines and the things that looked like alien heads and all that kind of thing.
I didn't, but okay.
Oh, well, there you go, H.R. Geiger. He did all of that for the Alien franchise. It's like that.
But
like,
ducks.
But ducks. They're, like,
how does that work in space? If it's feathery and, like, loose and fluffy.
Oh, they've adapted, my friend. These space
ducks. What do you mean? You can't say that. You can't just say they've adapted.
We haven't met the space ducks.
Okay.
Like, we just know that.
Do they even exist?
They can build. Of course they do, Laurie. And they can build. And there's all these amazing, like, technology and wings everywhere. And
you can't
bills
just. You can't cop out of this by saying there's incredible technology and bills everywhere.
I think I can.
I think I just have.
And Magical Monty is stood at one side of this enormous, like, Star Trek, like those optical door, like you know when a shutter opens on a camera and it goes
like that.
So like that he's stood on one side and he is holding one of the
golden eye keys. And where's Boris?
Boris is dead.
Boris
he
played, is played invincible.
With that pen too much.
Yeah. He's invincible.
Yeah, exactly. He's stood and he's got one of the golden eye keys and he's holding the other one in his arm.
Right.
And basically, he throws it up into the air as you're running towards him.
Grab that key, motherfucker.
And he starts, all right, just give me, roll one dice.
Grab that key!
You grab that key.
Yeah.
And you tumble and you hit it square into the panel on the right of the door. He pushes it into the left. This optical thing opens. He grabs you and pulls you through. And then it clamps down behind you.
Oh,
and then, right,
Bonstone.
The imprint of this enormous robo-duck just goes into the door. But he was right on your fucking tail when you rolled
know.
A six.
I didn't
so
even know.
He was going to, I'm going to be honest, Barbossa might have died then.
Fuck it.
But basically, this
he died like doing
that.
What he loves.
Like complete comedy
flailing
shape.
Around.
And Magical
like
Monty turns around and goes, we'll be safe here. This is his voice. I don't know if I've done his voice
crap
before.
Voice.
He's Orlando.
We'll be safe here.
The sky grows dark in the east. That's Magical Monty. We'll be safe in here. After all, this is where the treasure is.
Ooh!
Right, are you ready?
I want the treasure first.
And you see this little staircase leading down into a darkened room. He leads you down it.
Hang on, we're just ignoring everything else. Monty's like, we're fine.
Well, no, I think basically that door is like, it's like a blast door. It's a duck-proof door, and you had the golden, like, him and Kvank were the holders of the keys.
The duck-eyed door keys.
Exactly, and that's why Keith couldn't get into this.
Duck-eyed door key holders.
Exactly. Keith couldn't get into this room because he didn't have the keys.
Yeah, well, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, that door, he's now clearly not worried about what is coming
next.
Sweet,
let's loot this fat loot.
And you know, so you walk down the little stairs, Barbossa looking around like Indiana Jones, Magical Monty, like going ahead, and then he pulls down.
Hang on, you said Barbossa died. How can he be Indiana Jonesing it up if he died?
No, I said Barbossa might have died.
You rolled a six. It sounded like you were saying, well, Barbossa might have died, but at least you got the bacon.
Oh, sorry. No. Had you rolled a four or under,
your
he'd be in serious
has
fucking...
led me to serious problems.
Fuck off, Mrs. Yet Miggins.
Again. Oh, wouldn't you take another English class with me, Mr. Jones?
I wish you had.
Oh, well, whatever. Maybe I didn't study English at Cardiff University. Look at my big boobs.
Big English tits.
Big English boobs.
Fuck you.
Mostly now. Anyway, so Magical Monty, he pulls down this big, like, circuit breaker switch in the wall, and this enormous room lights up, and in it are big...
Eggs.
Ducks.
Eggs ducks.
No, big ducks.
Why are there so many ducks? Can we both promise now not to do another duck joke for like an episode?
Okay, let me finish
this
episode.
That's gonna be hard.
And then it'll be tricky.
No, from now.
Okay, well, no. Okay, so there
big
are
ducks.
Big ducks, the size
alive
of
ducks.
Horse. Yeah, like a flock of them, ducks. Basically.
Horse-sized ducks.
Horse-sized ducks.
Someone's been reading Reddit.
And Magical Monty goes, this is our ticket out of here. And he starts getting saddles off the walls.
Oh, what is this shit?
And he's going around and he's touching the ducks, you know, giving little strokes on the face, and he's putting saddles on
them. Are they ducks
or
are they chocobos,
and
buddy?
He says, no, they're ducks. They're definitely ducks. How? And he points upwards, and there's this enormous skylight.
Yeah.
Right, basically. All duck architecture still, you know. Like,
yeah, big duck build.
All that. And he points up and he goes, these guys are our ticket out of here. Okay. Right. And so, I mean,
I'm going to mount up a duck.
You have one
each.
I'd
be foolish not to.
Yeah, exactly. Magical Monty's got one. Barbossa's got one. Oliver has one, but it's like comically smaller than the others, of course.
It's a partridge.
Exactly. So basically, you climb up onto the ducks and he goes, right. And he presses a little button inside one of the GoldenEye keys and the skylight opens up. Like, and the heavens above you and all this. And he goes, right, fly. And nothing happens. It's basically that. There's lots of flapping and little awkward moving.
Fucking anticlimax.
And then he goes, fly! Still nothing.
Right.
And he turns to you and goes, Kvank was sort of the one who handled the...
He was the duck man.
The flying.
He was the duck guy.
Basically, He worked out the way to control these guys, and
right.
I only ever flew with him, so I've never...
So we're fucked, are we?
We might be trapped.
Yeah.
Might be the thing.
What did he use?
All the while, now hearing clanging on the glass door. Clang, clang, clang.
All right, what did he use to get the ducks up?
Well, he used to run a competition at the zoo that you could win a flight on a duck.
Yes.
Of course, it was a zoo.
Yes. Right?
On these giant ducks. And he genetically bred them to respond to certain frequencies. Something to do with the intonation of his Russian voice, so that no one could... Yeah, inflections, all that, you know, whatever.
don't say that like it's really clever, you prick. You just locked me in a room full of flightless ducks.
And he used all right,
well,
to take,
hang on.
He used to take tour groups around.
Yeah, there. Yeah, that's great, Monty. Yep. Right, I'm going to look in my bag. He's bored me now.
You're
what
gonna
have
look
I got?
In your bag.
So the right oscillation. So Crank's dead.
Yeah.
Barbossa sounds like a jar of jelly deals.
Barbossa's having a wee. By the way, just in the. Oliver
sounds like. I mean, Oliver's quite a piercing sound. Can I like poke him and hit him?
All right. Okay.
He makes the right noise.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Just give me a roll.
How about you?
All right, you punch Oliver clean in the jaw, like so hard, and go, woo, like that, and doink, like that.
That's
and
the right noise,
and
though,
and
right?
Woo, like that, and the ducks look up, but nothing. It alerts them.
I don't know, what else have I got in my bag? I mean, I would want to hit Oliver again, but I think I might be here for too long. I could try and charm a duck. I could try and, like, set his feathers on fire. Oh, hang on, I've got a bag shit, haven't I? He's got a whistle. He's got a whistle. That was easy.
You worked it out so quickly.
Blow that whistle, baby!
You, as you pull out the whistle, Magical Monty goes, yes, yes!
How has Bag got this whistle?
So, Bag, basically, I haven't explained it very well. Bag, this zoo was Bag's favourite place.
I've got that much.
Because one day, he won a competition.
To fly a duck.
And this is all exposition that if Kvank was still alive, I would have told. But well, I quite
good
like,
job
I quite
he's
like
dead, so reason, we can avoid it all.
The reason he has all this
yes,
stuff...
Yes, Paddy, avoid all the exposition.
Fuck off. The reason he has all this stuff is he went to the zoo, he won the competition, and that's why it's his favourite place, and that's why he marked it on the map, and that's why he was so happy.
Oh, for a second I thought he was being useful. But
well,
no,
yeah,
just,
I mean, also...
Just, he's just an infantile ogre. Yeah, no,
but maybe that's why he left you his bag in the first
I
place.
I think he dropped it.
He probably dropped it. Oh, my God, the bag!
The bag.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
I lost it bag.
Right, so you're gonna blow on the
lost
whistle?
It bag.
Bag's bag.
Oh, it's all gone.
Oh, let me have a little look in my bag.
Oh, it's, forgot it's not
Oh, 199 bag.
Rolling the whistle. Rolling?
Roll the whistle.
Toot it.
You don't even need to roll for this. You blow
Thanks,
the whistle.
Thanks, I'm glad. That...
Yeah, if it didn't work, then you'd just die. Yeah, yeah. Right, so anyway, you blow the whistle and you cannot hear the sound. It's like a dog whistle. Like, you cannot hear the sound. And suddenly, the four ducks that you're on. That's lovely.
Is it?
Yeah, that's great. You do a really good, high... Oh, it gets horrid, doesn't it, after a little while. Oh, you got it back. You got it back to how it was at the beginning. That was amazing.
You,
you know, I was almost tempted there to, start, giving myself things where I do an edit whereby you hold that for, a minute
Yeah,
and
do
a half.
That. Do that. They'll never know.
I was like, that would be amazing.
Do it.
I'll clearly forget to do that. Anyway, so basically, you blow the whistle. You can't hear it. And the four ducks that you're on, their wings just goosh, like that, and they come up. And, basically, they're wearing saddles. And, by the way, the other thing Monty has put on them in these golden helmets.
No, goggles, come on.
Oh,
sure, it's going to be like flying goggles.
Oliver's one has little, biggles goggles and
go.
A flapping hat.
Right now.
Your ones have, Spartan helmets, those really cool, pointed ones
very
like that.
Very cool. They're very aerodynamic.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah,
hella
dynamic. And the ducks just, and they take off.
Right.
And you soar out of the skylight, and from behind you, you hear this explosion, and it just fills with feathers as the door
and
bursts
ducks.
Down, and the robo-duck comes into the room, and you're looking back at him, and Monty's like, we gotta do this quickly, boys.
I'm gonna have to jump.
Yeah, exactly. And then Keith, right, you see robo-duck. Keith is now riding on the back of robo-duck. Okay,
oh, wow.
He's stood in the back. And robo-duck, each arm, he forces it into one of the big ducks, one arm each.
Oh my god, he's got up the butt.
And then he squeezes
up the duck butt.
Yeah, up the duck butt, right up there. And he's the ducks are screaming or quacking or whatever.
Actually, what if you got fisted by a giant
And then he,
duck?
His robo hands squeeze and the wings come out of the ducks as if they're being controlled by him.
Yeah.
And then Keith just takes out a little whistle and goes,
beep beep.
And then all the other ducks, except their eyes, are red.
Oh.
He's got some kind of fucked up whistle, mate.
Yeah, mate.
All the ducks take off behind you, right? And Roboduck uses the two other ducks to start flapping. And he's, leading the fucking herd.
The ride of the Valkyrie ducks.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so basically, you are now flying through the air, being chased by, 200 fucking ducks, okay? You've used your fleet of foot, and it wouldn't have anything like that.
Because it's my
magical,
feet, Paddy.
Magical
enough.
Monty is basically starting to panic, and the Robo Duck is gaining on you.
Where are we going, Monty? Where are we going?
Well, we're heading south.
No, but I don't think it matters where we fly. It's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh,
the ducks
right.
Are
fair enough.
Catch us.
Okay.
So I'm trying to ask Monty if he has any advice for what to do.
The only thing that we can do is, I mean, you could use some spells, but basically you probably won't hit them, you probably won't... And then,
right,
Barbossa goes, I have an idea. And he raises his arms to the heavens and goes, Ich bin star, rangeben to ra!
What is that?
And basically...
Was that German?
No, it's Gibbon.
Yeah,
in this world, gibbons have a very similar
to
Germans. He raises his hands, and you see this energy come out of his arms, and it gets about a foot above his fingers, and then goes, and falls back down, and he goes, oh, shit.
No Gibbons.
And he's on the back of the duck, and he's balancing himself like this, and he's shaking like that, and he's starting to panic, and he turns, and he's like, I'm out of juice! I'm out of juice, man!
I'm out of Gibbon juice!
I'm out of Gibbons! And Magical Monty is like, I don't have it! I don't have anything on me! I'm sorry! And Oliver's like, I could brew you up a good old homeopathic remedy, sir!
Oh, he's out of juice, out of mana! Funnily enough, I've got a mana potion. It's almost like you described you. What's that?
That's battle music as you're like, you know, as you're working it out.
All right. Where's it suddenly kick in when I'm out of mana?
It's like one of those Sherlock moments where everything's coming towards your eyes.
Or like text messages.
Yeah, exactly. And you're remembering dates and all this. And all the while,
that Capri Sun to Barbossa. He doesn't deserve it, mind.
You pull out the Capri Sun Mana Edition. Roll those two dice. You're going to throw it to Barbossa?
Yeah, he's just over there, man. I can make that a million times. Oh.
So, you launch the potion, and Barbossa's arm comes out, and it's like, it's not even like a bad catch. He just goes, ah! And he just misses it entirely.
Oh, why?
And it falls, and Monty goes, you dropped it! And Barbossa can't really control the duck. And Monty turns and says, remember me. Dive bombs with the duck after this falling Capri Sun, right? And then Magical Monty, he's getting down, and there's a fucking reason they call him Magical Monty.
Why?
He bombs straight into the potion. That's a six. He grabs it, and then, you know, your telekinesis spell? He, like, force pushes it up.
Okay.
Yeah. But the duck is in spiral mode.
Why?
Right? What? Why? He's force pushing it back up to Barbossa.
From quite a high altitude, right? He's dived down to get the mana potion.
Yeah.
And then just loses complete control of the
duck. No, because he had to make the duck go into a fucking dive. And these are just... all they are big ducks. They're not, like, the best ducks.
But they can fly, Patty, as we've just demonstrated.
Yeah, they can fly.
What I'm saying is I think he's fallen to his death a bit too easily, as if he wanted it.
Okay.
No, fine.
All right, so he force pushes the thing, and then he's fine, but then Roboduck blows him up.
There we go, that makes sense.
Just like that, and Monty just...
Now I like it.
And it's
now
like
it.
Like in anime, you know, when there's the like...
Like a leaf on the wind.
Yeah, and then... And like shit and piss flies everywhere.
Oh, God. spontaneously
Monty's vile entrails just spill everywhere, and Oliver goes, no! Him! Oliver doesn't really know. But the Capri Sun flies up. Barbossa catches it.
Nice.
I mean, because if he didn't...
That would be a waste.
That's the end of the fucking story, isn't it? He drinks it and he... Dun, 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 pushes the little straw through the magical foil bit. And he does the like...
And he sings spits it out.
Then this amazing, like, it's like black, thick energy just like that spirals out of his hands and launches towards the skies.
Yeah.
The skies grow dark.
And
it's a Gibbon storm! Keith just behind you going, what the fuck are you doing, mate? Or whatever he spoke like. And he looks up to the skies, and then, not like Angel Gibbons, not like Demon Gibbons, just Gibbons. Thousands.
Yeah.
Just fall, and they're all like, you know, like tumbling monkeys when they're all in those like single, like 2D poses.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, like that. Thousands of them start falling out, okay? Now, you're gonna have to do this, isn't a full skills challenge, but basically, the gibbons are starting to fall. You have to start evading gibbons.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
Using the skills that you have.
I had a quid for every day to evade gibbons. Using the skills that you have.
Okay, tell me what skill you're gonna use to evade the first. You can just, by the way, for this, you can just be like, I'm gonna dodge gibbons. Or you have a higher chance of succeeding if you utilize the things you learn.
I'm gonna try and dodge them, but if any come near me, I'm gonna get the little finger cannons out, right? My little finger telekinesis is just like pew 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 pew, and they're hopefully not even just moving them, but just sending them spinning away.
Yeah, yeah. And oh, maybe that's so fucking cool, like ricocheting towards.
Yeah,
give me a roll of three dice. Oh, that's great. Okay, so basically, Oliver is about to be hit by like a pack of gibbons that are all joined together by the tail, and you're just like sharp. You're proper like Reaper in Overwatch. John Marston, Red Dead Redemption, like sharpshooter, like and you're like, it's as if you had like a trigger on your hand, it's like you hitting the back of it like that. Gibbons are just spiraling off all over the place.
I mean, it's the hammer.
And then you notice like an unusually large gibbon falling towards the front of your duck. Okay, so just give me one more roll. Choose a different skill.
Fat Gibbons going right back where it came from, Pat. Okay. Right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take out my staff and I'm gonna twirl it around my head and I'm gonna just fucking bat on him back up into the sky.
What, like a fucking home run?
No, like I'm twiddling it like a majorette and I'm just like making a little helicopter and I'm just going to ping him off at the end. Here we
go. Okay, cool.
Go.
Yes! The highest possible roll, motherfucker. An 18.
Nice.
I know that we don't have D20s, but an 18 is the best roll. So you hit him, right? You know, and you don't even hurt him. That's the thing. It's like you catch him and he folds around your staff and you spin and like that. And it launches him straight backwards. And you just see Keith. It's like the camera pulls up on Keith's face and he goes, oh, fuck. And then...
Gibbon explosion.
Raining gibbons. All the other ducks start getting taken down by gibbons. And you guys evade that you're out of the gibbon storm. And Barbossa turns and goes, thanks, guys. Ding.
Nice.
And then
fade to black.
As you fly off into the sunset.
Well, that's the end. That's the end of Choose Your Adventure forever. Yeah.
The sunset's in the south in this case.
That was disappointingly full of gibbons and not... You know,
well, it's the end of it for this time.
No busty dwarf wenches.
Oh, mate.
Next time.
There will be busty dwarf wenches.
Welcome to my twisted circus. Won't you come inside? We've got mice with lots of hats and a lovely boat.
I ran out of ideas.
Oh, Pads, are we done yet? I'm just...
Nearly done.
Oh, no, that's... I don't need the nearly done. Tell you what, mate, have you got any... Oh, sleep I could have.
Sleepy fun.
No. Not a sleepy song, just sleep.
Mate, are you not really tired? I am so shattered.
I'm at the point where I think... I'm dying.
I mean, you also don't go to bed for like 5 hours.
Well,
so you'll
be fine. Absolutely, I'll be absolutely fine. But I think I've reached that point where I'm like hot and tired. Yeah, no, I've suddenly got really overexcited. Well, it's because we've had a lot of late nights.
A lot of late nights. Well, I was in Manchester this weekend, and you were out this weekend as well. And then the weekend before that, it was our lovely friend James and Kate's day of the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Their birthdays, which were about 4 days apart or something.
Yeah.
But basically, it ended up being a week apart.
Yeah.
We had one party one weekend, and then James's the next, which was quite... filthy.
I mean, they were boozy.
Yeah,
like, boozy to say the least.
We have boozy friends, Pads.
Kate's was very much like a Halloween birthday party.
Yes.
You and I went dressed up. Well, you went dressed up.
Yes, yeah, sort of.
Like, you went as...
rudimentally
You went
dressed
as
up.
Jim Morrison is dead.
Yeah, which is basically me with a wig, which was great.
And I went as... a guy.
This guy.
Wearing a coat.
Whoa.
It's
pretty spooky.
Which was great. But yeah, I think like I'm just like just shattered from the weekends. And like...
it's too much. We have spent a lot of time with James and Kate and that's been wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I had an argument with James the other day.
No. Not James.
No, well, that's the thing.
James is one of the... you've heard him on the podcast. You've heard us talk about him. He's one of those people you can have the most fun arguments with.
Yeah.
He will argue with you about anything. Like, he will argue... like, if there's something he disagrees with you, and you will not waste a second and be like, no,
absolutely
not. That is not what Yogi Bear is about. And it's a very belligerent on the surface, but actually fun.
Exactly, like
argument to have.
Like that, yeah, he's that guy. He's a debater from a stubborn perspective.
Yeah.
Like he's very much that. And actually, really weirdly, there are three things that tie this into what I'm about to say. Firstly, you went as "I'm Jim Morrison, I'm Dead."
Mogwai song. Nice.
We have spent the past week watching what television show?
Of the Return,
Le Revenant. Which has a soundtrack by who?
Mogwai.
And this argument...
if you haven't seen that, by the way, it's fucking
oh my god,
excellent.
Fucking watch it.
It's a spin on Zombie? It's not even a zombie show. It's people come back from the dead.
Do you remember that show, The 4400? Did you watch that?
No, but I've heard...
I watched like a season of that and it was like quite good. But basically, the grand idea is people come back from the dead. But it's
they're not
like,
zombies.
It's not zombies. It's not Zombie City.
They're just people.
They're just normal dudes. And dudettes.
Watch it or miss out.
It's amazing. Anyway, Mogwai do the soundtrack. And anyway, this argument with James was effectively about Mogwai.
Oh.
Because basically... I was talking about the Revenants, and I said, and you know what just tops it all off is this pure post rock,
pure jizztastic.
Yeah, I was like, it's amazing, just post rock explosion.
It is
like
really
wizard motor, just kicking it
hungry
up.
Hungry face.
And James went, "Oh, fuck off!" And I was like,
"Pardon me,
what?"
Yes.
He was like, "Post rock," and I was like, "You love post rock?" And he was like, no, we don't like post-rock. And I was like, you like Mogwai? And he was like, I love Mogwai. And I was like, and they're post-rock. And he's like, no, they're rock, okay? They're rock music. And I was like, well...
Still the hallmarks of James Arden.
No. And I was like, well, what do you think of a, like, you know, a Silver Mount Zion? He's like, don't know. Are they post-rock? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, hate them. And I was like, what about Godspeed You Black Emperor? And he's like, post-rock? Fuck off. And it was just really aggressive. And I was like, what are you doing, mate? And he was like, well, for something to be post-rock,
yeah,
it has to happen after rock. And rock is still very much a thing.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I don't think that's what it means.
That's not, mate.
And he was like, yeah, well, you can't be post something whilst the other thing still exists. And so... I started teasing him by talking about post offices and like and all that kind of stuff.
If you want to get on your high horse,
I got on my high horse.
It's just it's the way you call it, right? It's just it was inspired by Born From rock music, and it came doesn't really mean chronologically one's over and the other one's begun, right?
Absolutely.
Post punk started in 1979 or whatever,
and we talked about post punk for a while, and he was like, "No, it's all just punk."
No, it's not. Joy Division are not a punk band.
And that's and we used exactly that we used exactly that. We were like, think about Joy Division, think about that, and he was like, yeah, they were just
think
like,
about Editors, Paddy, later... all of our favourite bands.
Yeah. Editors.
Would you call them a punk band?
Editors.
Fuck no.
Like, oh god, I can't stand Editors. But anyway, like but he was that's so funny. Adamant on it. He was like, he can't be post if the other one still is. And he got really like not like he got more aggressive than usual.
I mean, this is where does this argument take place? And then, let's fill everyone in.
And then I
at a place called Garlic and Shots, where the only drink they serve is shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredibly strong, huge,
very
shots.
Strong, big shots. And actually, the episode we did must have been a year or two ago when I was really hungover.
That was after that bar.
After that, it was a year ago. Christ. But anyway, and so I started bringing in things and being like, well, "What about new metal?" And I was like, "What about the first new metal bands? Is that still new metal, or is it now slightly older
metal,
and is now metal old metal?" And like, I was getting a bit arsy about it, and everyone was on the post rock side. Everyone was like, "No, it's just a thing.
Everyone's
that's,
on team.
That's how they self identify, and that's what they've chosen to be known."
It's not sexuality.
And you know a lot more about post rock. So what would you define post rock as?
Number one. What would I define it as?
Well, like...
I've had to go, well, you know, started with like bands like Tortoise.
Yeah.
Bands who took out...
Pelican.
Yeah. I don't know Pelican, but...
Oh, mate, you love
never,
Pelican.
Would I?
Yeah.
Would I really? I bet they've got a big mouth. Are a bit
and
fishy.
Love the fish.
No, so it's post-rock's usually instrumental, rock instrumentation, right? Guitars and drums, big, heavy, lots of noise.
Yeah.
But quite emotional, quite a big, long building and ramping up songs.
Yeah,
big
like
crescendos.
Really long. Yeah, yeah.
Big builds. Bands, you know, particular examples of the genre might include Sigur Rós from One Angle, or Mogwai, or Exposure in the Sky, a good one.
Oh, so good.
Godspeed, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Do May Say Think, Crazy Canadian Guys. There are loads of them.
Because you say
it's so, my shit.
That is your shit. It's totally your
it's
shit.
My
and
jam.
I tried to form an argument that I wasn't perhaps very good at. Because I really wanted to win. And I was like, I know post-rock is a thing, and I know that that's a cool thing, and I agree with Laurie. And I was like, no. So I said, well, think about it like this. You've got, well, it was like, you got rock and roll, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe the more popular then afterwards, rock. And then rock became a big genre that had lots of subgenres, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, post-rock, I see as like, if there was like a progression... I'm not saying rock's over, but it's naturally what would happen next
it's
to
the
rock.
Starting point. I mean, whenever you put a name on a genre, you're saying, right, up until now, this is what we can collectively call everything. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not saying it's over. You're saying,
I'm not saying it's over. I'm saying that it was like,
into...
if we were to then have a world after rock music, that it would sound like strip out the lyrics, the distortion gets more distorted, the long, long like riffs and lines get longer and longer, it gets more dirgy and thumping and loud.
Well, in one offshoot.
Yeah, that's what I very much thought of it as. Hmm. James was having fucking
I mean, the easy way to get him down, right, is be like, well, rock and roll's just like post-blues, if you want, you know, you
oh, I
be
said
a
that.
Prick.
He was
and...
not. He was like, no but blues not. Is still a thing, mate. Blues is still a fucking
blues
thing.
Blues is just like post-slavery music. Yeah, you know, you go really far.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And then Stuart, who was also arguing with us, and Liam,
and also...
started getting really like, oh, we have a vein to mine. And Kate, this entire time, was like, he's so stubborn, he's not going to give up, can you guys just drop it? And Stuart was like, what do you think of... Witch Step. And James was like, what the fuck is Witch Step? And he was like, Witch Step is actually, like, and he went into this explanation. He's like, it's dubstep music that took two steps
step.
Went witchier. And he was like, it's like witchy and spell crime. James was like, this is fun. And like, he was getting so angry.
Oh,
and then
wonderful.
All of us were like, acid jazz.
Acid
trip
jazz.
Trip hop. Just, and like, all of this.
What I remember, my favourite James argument ever is on the validity of Hot Tub Time Machine as a comedy movie.
Oh my
James,
God.
James believes Hot Tub Time Machine
insists.
Is the best film ever made, only to be outdone by Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Exactly. This is the best comedy film ever made.
Yeah.
And
we don't need to tell, we don't need to tell anyone.
It's
what's
not
wrong
even
with
like
that
we
sentence.
Don't agree. It's just like it's categorically just wrong.
It's just wrong.
Hot Tub, have you watched that recently?
No.
It is. I'm sorry,
once,
James.
It's almost
a crock of shit.
I almost killed myself.
There are probably four or five really good lines in it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that bit's good.
That
and the rest
good
of
on
it
YouTube.
Is shite.
Yeah.
it's dross.
But sorry, Witch Step. I fucking loved that. Did you spend the whole night? Hang on. Have you got any other new genres up your sleeve?
What? That maybe I threw out.
Maybe we should make some new genres up right here in the PodSham studio.
Goggle pop.
Goggle pop? Oh, that's when you play music, but every... this is easy, mate.
Yeah.
Every instrument or voice is surrounded by water.
And Murlocs.
So, you know... No, they're not no, so like, the lead singer's going... And the guitar's like underwater.
like tremolos on everything.
No, it's just underwater.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then every song ends with...
What's that?
That's your like you're spitting it out at the end.
Of course, it'd be like,
Gogglepop. I think
Gogglepop
would be everything.
That's amazing. Well, there we go. Done.
Yeah.
Next
okay.
One. Next genre.
Fizz rock.
Fizz rock. You can't just they can't just put sound effects plus already existing genre. No. Here's
okay.
one. Here's one.
Rock
for
and
you.
Shoes.
No.
So
no.
That's a stamping.
Yes. Yeah. It's good. It's just Cotton
okay.
Eye Joe over and over
what
again.
What have you got for me?
What have I got for you? Oh, I've got the Lima Shuffle.
The Lima Shuffle.
The Lima Shuffle. It's interesting because it's called the Lima Shuffle.
Okay,
like
as if it was a dance.
Yeah, where are they from?
Lima.
Lima is in the capital of Peru.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, and what's their shtick, man? What are they from? And what's their riding groove?
It's basically, like, you know ringtail lemurs? Right?
Yeah. It's Hang on, so it's from Lima, but it's about ringtail lemurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's very pretentious,
obviously.
If anything. It's sort of, you know...
Is it all on pan
you know
flutes?
When, like, lots of pan flutes. And you know the lemurs, you know when you shine a light in a lemur's eyes?
No, right? You can't say I've ever done that, mate.
Oh, right. I've seen it done. Genuinely, I've seen it done. And their eyes go...
Imagine if you lied about that. If you made up the fact that you'd seen a lion shot. Anyway, sorry.
If I'd seen a torch show.
No, I've seen that.
I've seen a torch showing
times.
To a lemur's face.
Yeah,
I actually have seen that. And their eyes, like, dilate quicker than anything else. It goes, shoop, like
okay.
that. So the lemur shuffle is basically taking so many drugs that immediately you hear this music that's just panpipes going... And immediately the drugs all kick in as if they're audio logged, like try and it goes voip, and then you're just a mess for like two.
And then the music becomes rolling on a keyboard, like a Casio keyboard.
Yeah,
I like it.
Absolutely.
It's really big in Berlin.
Yeah. Okay, what about Pit and Creek?
Pit and Creek.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty easy, man. Like that. So you know, proper country, American, North American country music.
Yeah.
I went down to the one hole and
all that.
Amazing
eastbound and down, rolling up and trucking. We're gonna do what this shit can't be done.
We're of course
ready to go.
You're dying out there. Yes. We know that. Today. We know that. What was it called again? I give up a Pit and Creek. Pit and Creek,
Pit
right?
And Creek.
So in the Louisiana swamps, right, in the bayou. In the creeks, right? All the old Cajun fuckers, right? And they're making their Cajun chicken or gumbo, whatever it is they do.
Tony
right?
Sachery's Cajun rub.
They worked. Shut up.
That's my favorite rub.
But just it's irrelevant. One day, this whole podcast is irrelevant. One day, right? They're all sitting there and they're chewing their sunflower seeds, like, you know, as Americans down that way want to do.
Yeah.
And then one of them went, ding, on a saucepan at the side, right?
Yeah.
And they made an entire orchestra, and it is just old, wheezy guys from the Louisiana swamps.
And it's...
with they've only got one saucepan each,
And
the amazing thing about it is there's one stage for all the performers, they're all chewing their sunflower seeds,
and
then like a good 500 meters away, like a long way away, there's just like a wall of saucepans, and all these 150 blokes just go. And you get.
So that's the pit element of it.
And it's in a creek.
Oh,
and creek.
I thought your creek only, was going to
no,
be
no, because there's also
there's rocking chairs that they're
there
on.
Is also that would be good. There is also
that's
Pit and Squeak.
It's a very different thing.
And there's also Pit and Tea, which is the English version, but it's just
quite good.
Yeah, exactly. It's just an orange pit being removed very gently from a mouth and then. Play with a cup of tea.
Delicious.
Great. Very popular among teenage witches.
Wolf jazz.
Wolf jazz. That's easy, man.
Oh, yeah, that's just...
It's like, it's free jazz, and then it comes to the improvisation section.
And they're mauled by wolves.
Oh!
Not even how you expect the howling.
No, just
the snarling and the attack.
So you go into, like, a really shit, like
wolf jazz
elevator music jazz band.
Yeah.
They don't know it's happening. And then the genres evolve because people bring rabid wolves and just go... That's amazing. Okay, what would... Let's clear this up once and for all, because our listeners want to know what this is, right? What is...
I know exactly what
you're... You tell me, what is it?
Ultrem Folk Fi Shamble Rock.
It's the hottest thing.
Oh my god, it's actually all down with the kids.
It's a really crazy story. So, like, in this tiny little part of Germany, in the Bauhaus, there was a little man, he was called Search, and he was this dude, he was a, you know, it's a crazy story, man. He was
kicked
at school.
Out of his house.
Yeah, kicked out of his house, so he was at school, he had this really terrible, you know, time at school, and kicked out eventually.
But he always carried a drum.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
And it was this amazing...
He got called Drum Boy.
Drum Boy.
It's
this amazing
give us a beat?
Old African thing. Yeah. Anyway, he used to go around to his mate's house, his mate called Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
They used to play together, and it was a really cool time to be alive out there, man. You know, there was, you know, Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
There was Beethoven.
People were drinking milk.
People drinking, you know, poo out of a little, but, you know, cool poo.
Yeah.
And they hit the Berlin club scene, man, and it was phenomenal. I was there. You remember 86, man? I remember it, man.
It was like the David Blaine of music.
I think it's the only time anyone can ever say that new music was actually made, because everything else is just
and it only took place inside, like, suspended glass balls.
That would be fucking stupid.
Well, no, there was that one club.
There's the album. Anyway, they recorded that one album, which is like 3.5 days long.
Yeah,
but, like, mate, it changed your life.
It's absolutely good. But can I tell you what I got in touch with them?
No fucking way.
Well, because I know
not Tootsman and Steve.
They're on the verge of a comeback.
Fuck.
And I asked, I know you're not allowed to play music on podcasts.
Because special request.
I did a special request. And I sent a very nice email, and they said you can do a short.
You didn't get Mum Love Up Your Bum.
Yes.
Oh shit, man, and that's such a...
We're only allowed to do a short segment. Okay. But you guys will hear this, and then you'll basically just go and buy it, like, support the arts, especially the German arts, you know,
absolutely.
Like Merkel, she's, you know, great.
If you like it, make sure you let us know at podshambles@gmail.com.
Yeah, or at podshambles@twitter.
Or you can find us on reddit.com/r/podshambles, or on YouTube.
Yeah, or on YouTube, which is like youtube.com/thisisashambles.
Do it, all right.
And that's our channel with all our gaming videos,
absolutely.
Which there are still a lot. We got some new Hearthstone ones up, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, and a special secret one, which we can't tell you about.
Special secret!
Which we're
oh,
really
my God, it's
going to
be fucking great.
But what we're more excited about right now, first ever World Play exclusive.
I hope you guys are ready. Let's go. This is the sound of love, love, love. Yes, the sound. Are you ready?
Another sound check, can you wait for? Tell your bitch what I'm gonna do her for. In the pod shamble up with Patio. He's got a hat, that ain't Ice Flow. Remix.
Wiki Wah.
Check ignition. And signal.
Wiki Wah.
Wiki Wham.
Wiki Wham.
Wiki Wham.
Wigwam.
Wiki Wham Wham West.
Wigwams. TP.
What's this, man?
Tents.
No.
Yurts. Does get a bit tense. In the campsite, doesn't it?
Yeah. Intense.
That's a classic.
What if I wanted to whisper to you really quietly?
Then I judge you.
Hey! Alright. Just now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.